Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. As always, we are glad to have you. Thank you so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. A reminder, coming up tonight, going to be at Blackfin Ameripub as the Bill Michaels Huddle gets out on the road yet again, all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the network, the Bill Michaels Show and company. So I hope to see you out there tonight. 6 to 8, we'll be on the air talking football of all kinds. A guy that breaks it all down for us, does it extremely well. The editor-in-chief of MMQB joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Peter King is here. Peter, how you doing?
Everything's going well, Bill. How are you?
I wish we could say the same. Well, if the Packers get a win, then you would certainly hope it trends in the right direction if Aaron Rodgers can come back. But let me ask you this, Peter. If you were Mike McCarthy, would you bring Aaron Rodgers back?
100% yes.
Okay.
As long as I had a whiff of a chance at the playoffs, absolutely. I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, the only reason not to play him, really, the only reason not to play him is if you feel either A, he's not 100%, and there's a chance that he'll hurt himself by playing, or B, if you're out of it. I mean, this is a weird, weird league. A great quarterback can win any game. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. So until they're out of it, if they got any chance for the playoffs, I absolutely would play him.
Talk about the league. The game that we had all witnessed on Monday night, a lot of talk about the brutality, about obviously the suspensions. Should the NFLPA even try to get these suspensions reduced or go after the commissioner or the, I mean, just a lot of things that are contentious right now regarding the league, and none of it seems to be good. So what did you take away from Monday night's game between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati?
Probably three really objectionable things. I mean, I hate to just sort of bypass the Ryan Shazier injury, because history will look back on that night. That will be the biggest event of the night, even if he fully recovers. I mean, he's one of probably the best defensive player on their team, on a playoff team, and to lose him, to a life-threatening injury, really is a tragedy. It just is. But I think the other three things that bother me about this game, you know, number one, clearly the fact that this is such an incredibly chippy rivalry. This is different than Ravens Steelers, even at their peak. They just were, that was like watching Rock'em Sock'em Robots, you know, for people who are old enough to understand what those are. It was a distressing game to watch, number one, because I think there were so many hits in that game and so much intent to send a message to the other team, if not clearly to injure. I think number two, the fact that, that Juju Smith-Schuster, a rookie in this rivalry, has a smashing block on Vontaze Burfict, who the Steelers hate, and then stands over him like Ali stands over Frazier, mm-hmm, or Sonny Liston, sort of taunting him. That when your own guy is in the hospital, he may never walk again. That just is one of the most tone-deaf things I've ever seen, ever, in sports. That's number two. And then number three, Ben Roethlisberger saying after the game, hey, it's AFC North football. Well, if that's AFC North football, the AFC North shouldn't exist. I mean, it is bad, bad, bad for football. If you just say, hey, good hard-hitting game. It wasn't. It was too many over-the-line hits in that game, and I think the NFL is right to come down hard on it.
And then I guess you could say 3B if you wanted to, when Antonio Brown's behind Schuster-Smith saying, you know, that's karma. And then afterwards being asked about it, saying, well, it was just words. No, we clearly knew what he meant. That they didn't give a crap. They were out to hurt somebody, and yeah, I completely agree with you on that. Then you've got, I mean, there's so many stories. The league has become fascinating. For some of the stuff on the field, I get, but for a lot of the stuff that's surrounding off the field, I mean, Eli Manning being benched and then brought back the next week after the management is fired, and what's going on in Cleveland, and they can't get a win, and now they've got parades for a perfect season of inequity. I mean, it's just so many weird things going on in the NFL this year. I never thought I'd see those.
Well, I think Cleveland probably acted with some haste here because they feel like they might be in competition for the same guys as general manager that the New York Giants are. Dave Gettleman, the former Carolina Panthers GM, and John Dorsey, former Kansas City Chiefs GM. I mean, shoot, in the last 3 years, these guys have been candidates for executive of the year, and here they are on the street. So I think both of those guys really are going to have some interest out there. Cleveland knew they were going to make a personnel change, you know, in their front office. Mm-hmm. Why wait? So that's why Cleveland did that.
Who, if you had to pick between the two, who would you take? We know Dorsey obviously here very well from Green Bay.
I'd probably take Dorsey because, and again, I don't want to get an ageism lawsuit here, but I mean, Dave Gettleman turned 67 early next year.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a guy who's going to be your general manager for many years. I mean, you don't hire a general manager hoping that he'll last 3 or 4 years. You hire a general manager hoping he'll be Ron Wolf or he'll be, you know, George Young or something like that. And I think that the track records of the two guys are comparable. So I'd probably rather have Dorsey.
Talking with Peter King, editor-in-chief of the MMQB, brought to us today by SeatGeek.com. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Circling back to Green Bay, now we had talked about Aaron Rodgers. If he should come back and they should then, God forbid, they run the table, but are they then with him at full strength the way they looked prior to the injury? Do they become one of the perennial favorites to win the NFC?
I mean, the NFC is as strong as I've seen it. You know, depth-wise in a long, long time. Their defense isn't good enough for them to be favorites or anything like that. Their defense is not as good as New Orleans, mm-hmm. not as good as the Rams. It's not as good as Philadelphia, certainly not as good as Carolina. But as I say, I mean, it's not as good as Seattle, even when Seattle is down. But as I say, I mean, look, I look at the Green Bay defense, and on a good day, this is a defense that can present problems for you. I mean, to play him, Clay Matthews, obviously with an injection of life, in the game the other day, Kenny Clark has really emerged this year as a big factor along with Mike Daniels on that line. And so, you know, you look at that and you look at the fact that, you know, they're getting good years, maybe not superstar years, from Blake Martinez, Nick Perry, and they're sort of surviving in the secondary, you know, if you know what I mean. I mean, you guys watch them, obviously.
Right.
They Kevin King, you would think over time is going to be a good NFL cornerback, but I mean, right now, they need, in a big, big way, they need their defensive front to carry the day. They need their front seven to carry the day. And I think on a given day and a given pass rush, they're good enough to do that. But top to bottom, they're not one of the best defenses in the NFC, obviously. And so I look at it and pretty much say that, you know, they're going to have to win some scoring contests.
Yeah, that's the way I think they were built.
But
yeah.
But I'll take my chances with Aaron Rodgers in any playoff game. Thank you.
Peter, always a pleasure. You're brought to us by SeatGeek. And last time we had a chance to chat, you talked a little bit about SeatGeek and everything they have going on right now. So fill us in.
Well, I mean, they've been good to me and good to the MMQB, my website, for the last couple of years. And, I love using SeatGeek. I first got involved with them because I was saying, how great is this? You just go into another city and in 90 seconds on your phone, you can buy a ticket to whatever event is going on in that city that day and with your choice of many seats in there. And if you download the app to your phone now and you use the promo code KING, K-I-N-G, you get $20 off your first purchase. So that, I mean, just introducing you to the service that way, I think is a pretty cool thing and saves you some money too. So I'm kind of very bullish on it.
There you go. That is Peter King. Go to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo King King for $20 off. And not only does he bring you information, he brings you a little cash in return. Peter, it's always a pleasure, pal. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks so much, Bill.
Absolutely. There you go. Peter King of MMQB, the editor-in-chief, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. By the way, we see Peter every year, usually at Super Bowl. And if we see him again this year, we're going to be brought to you by some great, great people that take us there. And the Milwaukee Admirals get on board and experience the nonstop action of Admirals hockey at the Panther Arena. It's a great time down there. A lot of fun. You're right there on the action. For more information, go to MilwaukeeAdmirals.com. That's MilwaukeeAdmirals.com. They are hashtag Milwaukee. When you're downtown before a game or before any game or event down there, just for a great night out, San Giorgio. My buddy Gino, Old World 3rd Street in Kilbourne, right there next to the Calderon Club, across from the Hyatt, right there on the corner. Great place. Ask for the Bill Michaels pizza. Authentic Napoletana pizzeria. And when they pair it up, the Bill Michaels pizza, that is, they pair it up with Point Brewing and Cider Boys, the hard cider. And thanks to Joe Martino and everybody that did a great job down there on that. We certainly want to say thanks to them as being a part of that. But going to see my buddy Gino over at San Giorgio and the family-owned company, Auto Paint and Supply. They are in Waukesha, Middleton, Walworth, and Racine counties. Whether it's fleets, whether it's cars, whether it's marine or industrial, go to GoAutoPaint.com. That's GoAutoPaint.com. Great people out there. I know the gang out in Waukesha real well. They're fantastic people. Stick around. You're going to hear from Mike McCarthy, his daily presser, coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
There you go. That's Mike McCarthy. And as to whether or not Aaron Rodgers will be back, I mean, he talks about him raising the level. I find it interesting. Aaron Rodgers is so good. Okay, let's be honest. We understand how good he is. But he says he raises the level of play by everyone around him just by being in practice. So my question is, doesn't anybody else elevate the level of play? You know what I mean? Is it just Aaron Rodgers, just because he's a Hall of Famer and because he's present on the field, that suddenly people just say, well, okay, let's play better. Aaron's out there. That I get the cause and effect, but I have to admit there's a part of me that it bothers me. You know, if everybody's play elevated by Aaron Rodgers walking on the field, why can't they play the same way? Is it strictly because, now if Mike McCarthy's talking about the offense, okay, he throws guys open, he can do certain things, I get it. But if you're talking about defensive guys playing better, I'm thinking defensive guys should have played better without Aaron Rodgers. If you elevate your level of play and playing, you should be playing better against lesser quarterbacks. So, look, I don't want to nitpick every word here, but when he says he elevates level of play, on one hand, I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, but as a Packers fan, on the other hand, I'm going, that's disappointing. Because if anything, all we heard when he went down with injury was, everybody needs to step up. Defense got to step up. Clay Matthews, we need to step up. Mike Daniels, we need to step up. Everybody said it. Did they? Did they really step up? I think the defense has played better as of late. But, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things where my initial reaction is, all right. And then my next thought is, well, why the hell? It should have gotten better when Aaron Rodgers left the field because they knew they couldn't rely on him anymore. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Tim Allen had brought this question up on Tuesday, and it seems like the answer is pretty obvious, but he does make a good point. Your receiving core, pretty healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no injuries.
Right.
I know Brett Hundley's Brett Hundley, but wouldn't you think the receiving core production-wise in all these games without Aaron Rodgers would still be a little bit better than what it's shown? I mean, Davante Adams is the only one that has stepped up. Davante Adams is just showing that he deserves big money in the offseason because he's able to play so well regardless of who the quarterback is. But everyone else, it's kind of hit or miss. And I just feel like with as talented of a receiving core as you have, mm-hmm. shouldn't the production be a little bit more than what you've seen? Shouldn't they be helping Brett Hundley be a little bit more effective? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the chicken or the egg at this point.
Yep.
But Tim does make a good point about that. I just feel like the receiving core, for what it's worth, are they being exposed as well?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if they're being necessarily exposed to the extent of they're not any good, but there's something to be said for one guy has speed, okay? You've got a guy with speed. They can just get separation. But when you're not getting separation, you have to have a quarterback that can throw it into specific windows to open up your ability to catch the football, to put it to where only you can get it. Brett Hundley doesn't do that.
Well, I mean, I'll blame Brett Hundley in this regard. Perfect example was in this last game against Tampa Bay. Geronimo Allison, who's been MIA for how many weeks, finally gets wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Hundley can't hit him
can't
in
hit
the
him.
End zone.
Yeah.
And they have to settle for a field goal.
Yep. He had separation, speed, the whole thing. And I get it. We've seen it time and again. By the way, I had mentioned at the beginning of the show about the whole bone scan thing with Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy kind of mentioned the scan there. The way I understand it, and I meant to kind of go back over this and I didn't touch base, is they're going to do a scan apparently next week. They weren't going to do one until after the Browns game. I think in part from what I understand as well is that Rodgers didn't really want to know. He didn't want to base his rehab on just the bone, because he'd been through this before, and they waited until the bone was healed for him to start throwing and strengthening and feeling good. Granted, it was the opposite shoulder. In this particular case, once he had range of motion and he was feeling good, he began light tossing and better and better and better and better, and they have not scanned that bone. So now they're going to say, okay, he's throwing, feels really good. The next question is whether or not he can take a hit, and that is going to depend on the bone scan. So even though he looks good, as to whether or not he's actually going to play in a game will depend on the bone scan, which could come as soon as next Monday.
Well, hey, Aaron Rodgers was in pads today.
But he was also wearing the red jersey, not being touched.
Right. Correct. But he was still in pads.
So there you go. Good news. Are you fearful of this game? I believe the Packers are going to win, but it's not going to be a blowout. But are you fearful of this game? Is this that proverbial trap game? Because attitudes have changed. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Marshfield Clinic Health System, they bring you this portion of the program. They fixed me up, got me back in the game, and feel great. Maybe, just maybe, there's something, because there's a lot of creeping crud going around right now, I'll tell you that. Maybe you can just call them. 844-CARE-AWAY. Try Care My Way. 844-CARE-AWAY, 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. The charge is never more than $40, and if they can't help you over the phone, they don't charge you at all. It's that kind of service. Pay for play, so to speak. Good people, good stuff. They treat you like a friend, not like an insurance card or a number. And they genuinely try to help you out with as little effort on your part. Care My Way. Just call. Maybe they can get your prescription sent to the pharmacy of your choice, by the way, all throughout the great state and beyond the borders. That is our good friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System, the official health care provider of yours truly and the Bill Michaels Show. Let's go back to the phone calls. Is this a worrisome game? Is this a proverbial trap game for the Green Bay Packers? Ty is listening to us in Philly. Philadelphia. Ty, how you doing, man? What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Bill?
Sure. What's happening, man?
So, to answer your question, no. There's still the Green Bay Packers walking into Cleveland, Ohio. It could be looked at as a trap game, but we should be walking into this game with no fear.
I don't walk into it with fear, because that's a good point. I don't walk into it with fear. I think the Packers are good enough to win this game. Just pound for pound, man for man, I think they can win this game. I think the better coach is also on the sideline to win this game. A couple of turnovers could dictate the outcome of this game. That's the only fear that I would have. But I believe as long as the Packers don't start looking towards Carolina and Aaron Rodgers coming back and get way too excited, I think if anything, if I'm a man inside that locker room saying, look, if he comes back, we have a legitimate shot at putting ourselves in the postseason. We got to win out. So to me, this is a focus game. You have to get past this game if you're going to have any shot at getting to the postseason at all. And so I don't consider this to be a big trap game. If they let it become a trap game, man, shame on them. Shame on them, because that would be unbelievably disappointing.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
About listening to you and Peter King talk about the secondary. Let me ask you, do the Green Bay Packers try something different going forward and let Davante Adams walk in the offseason, reduce Cobb and Matthews and Nelson's salary, and try to promote 81 and try to bring in the best two corners that they could bring in to go along with Kevin King and Demaryius Randle?
That's a great question. See, first of all, I think Cobb would be the odd man out. I think that if they could get – appreciate the phone call, Ty. I think if they could get Jordy for less, they would. But I think Clay is an enigma because for the money you're paying him versus the productivity, it just doesn't match up. But I think what I do is there's two things that are desperate need. You need to spend money on somebody locked down in the secondary, and you need to spend money on a pass rusher. You keep Clay on the inside with Blake Martinez. Blake Martinez more of run stuffing, and Clay Matthews more of a pass guy over the middle. And then you can bring Clay from anywhere, and you need a pass rusher opposite Nick Perry. Those are the two areas I'm spending money on, pass rush and secondary. Now, where are they going to get the money from? Well, that's a great question because, like I said, Cobb is making $12 million next year. Clay is not going to reduce his salary. He's just, I've been told too many times, he's not. If he does, kudos to him because he proves everybody wrong. I've never specifically asked Clay about it. I must say that. But the people that I've heard from inside the NFL, we'll say, have told me that they'd be shocked if Clay decided to go ahead and give the team a break. Now, maybe Aaron Rodgers says give the team a break, but you got to pay Morgan Burnett. You've got to pay Corey Linsley. You're going to have to eventually pay Aaron Rodgers, and you got to make sure that you pay Davante Adams. So where's all the money coming from? How much is too much, and how much of too much do you give away before the team just can't go out and get anybody else in free agency? You're, again, completely reliant on Ted Thompson and the draft ability, and I think that's where some of the guys have to look themselves in the mirror. I think they have something pretty special. They have an opportunity to make a run, but how much is too much, and how much respect can you live with and live without? 855-830-8648. Let's go to Pat listening to us in Ladysmith. Pat, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, what's going on, man? What are you thinking? Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Oh, great. First-time caller. Love the show. I'm a little I was listening to the last caller. I'm a little very concerned about this game to a point, like in what you were saying as well, that we give a couple turnovers, and we have made teams look a little better than they are. The Browns might get some momentum in the game, and I look back when we played Tampa, 6-7 years ago, and they were an all-for team, and we went down there, and we lost to them at that time. So, yeah. I'm a bit concerned. I guess especially with our offensive performance last week, too. We need to get Hundley back on track as well. So that's just my comment. Love your show, and I'll listen to you if you have any other comments.
All right. Appreciate it, man. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. I think this team has a good shot. Now, let me preface this. I think they're going to beat Cleveland. I said that. It's 24-10, 24-17. It's not going to be a blowout, but something to that extent. I think they do score 20-plus. I don't think they get into the 30s. Under Brett Hundley, they have proven that they don't. get into the 30s. They barely, I mean, up until this last game, and really up until the Pittsburgh game, they have not been a team that has gotten above 13 on a regular basis. I mean, that was the average. So the last couple of weeks have been promising in the sense that they've scored some points, but also they've scored points defensively, which you don't see happen very often. So I think this team is going to win 21 or 24 or something like that, 17, 14, 13, somewhere in that area. That's the way they get a win. I think, again, it's going to depend on this bone scan, but I really believe that they are the team that could be one of those wild card teams that could catch momentum, catch fire, and do some damage when everybody gets rejuvenated, if indeed Aaron Rodgers and his presence comes back.
So now, Bill, you would agree that the strength of the Packers offense right now is?
The strength of the Packers offense right now is the run game.
Correct. Okay, so you're going up against a top 10 run defense in Cleveland. Do you stick with the plan and run the ball all day, play to your strengths? Because, I mean, guarantee Cleveland's going to try and stack the box against you. And do you just try and live and die by the run game? Or do you have Hundley just air it out a little bit more and take your chances that way?
It's not that I'm going to say air it out. I mean, if you're talking about downfield, he's got to go downfield. He's got to hit a couple. He's got to do it again on film against an okay defense. Because otherwise, teams are just going to continue to stack the box, like we saw with Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson had five catches, didn't get over 25 yards. You're not going to win games doing that. So he has to air it out. He has to get it downfield a little bit. Going back to your original question, has this exposed the wide receiving core? It's exposed their ability to get wide open. We've been saying that for a long time, and they've been taking offense to it. You know, now, I'll defend them in the sense that there are times when Mike Clemens and I sitting next to each other going, oh, my God, and there's a guy wide open, and Brett Hundley is not throwing to that guy, not even looking in his direction. He is a one-to-two read guy, and teams are starting to key on that as well. Where Aaron Rodgers is so good is if he steps back, surveys the field, and realizes he doesn't have a window and starts to scramble. Aaron Rodgers extends plays with his athletic ability and with his arm and his ability to throw off the wrong foot and everything. He is a phenom. Brett Hundley gets exposed when he hangs onto the ball more than 3 seconds because then he is almost a throw it away or a sack taker. There's not a lot of in between for him. So he needs to get out, read, throw. 2.5 seconds. Bang, bang, bang. He needs to get rid of the football because his completion percentage is so much higher that way. Whereas Aaron Rodgers is the opposite. Yeah, he can hit the quick outs, but he likes to survey the field because he's going to wait for that matchup in his head to eventually open up to where he's going to see a window and throw into that window. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, yes. But I guess my other question is, because I don't get the coach's film the same way other people do. I know you get it. I mean, it doesn't look like they're running as many isolation routes as they did in the past. Remember, because that was part of the reason why receivers weren't getting open was because of the isolation routes. It seems like they are running more slant patterns, more crossing patterns, and yet these receivers are still not getting open. Am I right with that?
No, I agree.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's like, I felt the same way with the Badgers. Like, my heart tells me one thing, my brain tells me another. And my brain is telling me right now that I wouldn't be surprised if they lose because Cleveland's got a good run defense. And if they stop the run, Hundley's going to have more pressure now to throw the football. Josh Gordon, the guy hasn't played in like 3 years. He came out and had a pretty good performance against the Chargers last week. Who's going to be guarding him? It's probably going to be Demaryius Randall. Mm-hmm. But then after that, what do you got in your secondary?
Right.
I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking, they should win this game. They will win this game. They got to beat Cleveland, regardless of who you have at quarterback. You could have Joe Callahan at quarterback. You should still be able to beat Cleveland.
Right.
But Cleveland has strengths. Cleveland's lost 4 different games this year just by 3 points. I don't know, man.
They've got a good front with Coley and Shelton. Myles Garrett on the outside has been somewhat up and down. But, we talked about Jabril Peppers a little earlier with our buddy Daryl Ryder, the Browns reporter. And Joe Schobert, obviously, the middle linebacker out of Wisconsin, has played pretty well this year. B.J. Bello is a guy that came as a street free agent, and he's played okay at times when they've called upon him. They've got some weapons defensively, and now with Josh Gordon back, they can get the ball downfield. So between him, Corey Coleman, Ricardo Lewis, Kenny Britt, they've got some weaponry over there. I don't know how they haven't put this thing together yet. I just it boggles the mind. But also, don't forget they're going to be facing J.C. Treader, the center, former center of the Green Bay Packers. Stick around. Final segment, Bill Michael Show, coming up next.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face, hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. We certainly appreciate you taking a listen to us. By the way, the free agent market here, I was kind of taking a glance at that during the break coming up, because we would like to see, the Packers be able to see if they can't find somebody to work for a pass rush. It's not thrilling. Alden Smith. Paul Posluszny, one of the more notable names is Ahmad Brooks, who's in the Packers' fold now. Eric Walden, Laurenti McCray, there's Dwight Freeney. There's not a lot of big names. Lamar Houston, Chicago. I mean, there's not a lot. There's not that guy that's out there that's sitting there going, oh my God, you got to get him. Not a whole lot of those guys. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Jeff, just listening outside of Milwaukee. Jeff, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Bill?
Doing well, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, a couple of things.
Sure.
About the Green Bay Packers, just reflecting a little bit on what you guys have been talking about. I don't think at this point in the juncture there is any trap game for the Packers. The Packers are not at that point where I would consider them a team that could call anything a trap game. Any team they play in the NFL or in the NFC or AFC or whoever is going to give them a good game. That's just the nature of the beast. I think what separates them from the Browns, and you already kind of made this point, is the coaching. And I think that's going to make a difference. A couple of things that I wish I would see more of from Brett Hundley, and we did see a little bit of that in the last couple of drives of the Tampa Bay game, is rolling Hundley out, let him use his legs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the running game was working well and everything, but they're playing Tampa Bay. And again, Tampa Bay, their defense is nothing to write home about. But let Hundley roll out. Let him use his legs a little bit. I don't get that somewhat. And as far as the receivers go, I think Jordy Nelson was a great receiver, and now he's a good receiver. I think without the timing and Aaron Rodgers, he may even fall to the fair category. He doesn't create the separation he once did. And without that timing with Aaron Rodgers, I hate to say it, but I think he's just an average receiver. So as far as Davante Adams, I think he's starting to come into his own, and that's evident with the way he's been playing. Unfortunately, we're not getting a lot out of our tight end, and part of that is because of Martellus Bennett, that whole Martellus Bennett debacle. And so I hope, like you said, from listening to the comments about the free agents, and it doesn't sound like there's a lot out there. I did notice, though, with a lot of teams, and maybe the Packers will be one of them, they'll get that draft choice that can come in and be a little bit of a difference maker, whether it be an offense or defense. And we've seen it with a few teams. Alvin Kamara is a good example. Joey Bosa in San Diego. And you bring in a great offensive lineman, and you move him to Seattle, and you take a line that's just pathetic, and you give Russell Wilson just an extra second, which makes him you know, all that better.
Yep. I appreciate the phone call. We're at the top of the hour. Got to run. We'll try to get kind of pick up with some more of this coming up tomorrow as we continue to break down the Packers and the Browns, getting you ready for the weekend. Stay tuned because we'll be talking a lot about it tomorrow. Hopefully, you get a chance to come out tonight. Join us at Blackfin Ameripub in the Brookfield Square out in Brookfield. Come on by and say hello. I'm going to be there. We're going to have Mike Clemens is going to be there. Also, Bart Winkler from Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fans Morning Show is going to be there. Hope to see you there. 6 to 8 tonight. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Sure.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!